today was prompted by a multiple question by one of my seed partners. He said to me, he had just had a grandson in London, he was going down to the Indian event. Probably a week ago now, he was talking to me about a month ago, and I wished him mazel tov. And then my secret agenda was I hoped he would remember that I was a Kohen, and he would ask me to come and do the Pidyon Aben, ulterior motives. In fact, when I told someone my subject today, they said, this year is going to sound like an advertorial, if you've ever heard of these, where it looks like an advertisement. Sorry, it looks like an article, it was really an advertisement. So I'll leave that for you all to decide. The conversation with him went from bad to worse, because first he told me he already had a Kohen. So, okay, fair enough. And then he said to me, then Kohen, he asked the question, ask me the question. So now would you please explain to me the significance of Pidyon Aben? So I had to do the tough parts, and the Kohen just got to keep the money. So time caught me off guard, and I didn't have much to say. But I will tell you, it was a lot easier than a different question that was asked for a different Kohen. There was a Kohen from town, he turned up, had a Pidyon Aben, and some lady came over to him and saw he arrived empty-handed, and in all honesty, she looked at him and said, where's the pigeon? So there's a bit of misunderstanding what Pidyon Aben is about. You know, there are no birds involved, although maybe Shabbat Kesef, but generally speaking, the Kohen is not expected to bring with the pigeon. So I thought at least a Kohen should know the answer to this. Especially given this is one of the few mitzvahs that we can do, especially when we're not in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, we can duchen every day here, so we're a bit limited. We get for Kiddushto, which is wonderful, first Aliyahs. And I thought this is something worth looking into, and obviously has to do with the Parsha. And while I'm still waiting for my invitation to do my first Pidyon Aben, there's a Gemara Menachos, which speaks out it's worth learning. Because you all have probably heard this, on Reish Lakish, on Daf Kuf Med Aleph, it says, "My Diksev is one of the Korbanos. It's a Zeus Hatera LaOla LaMincha LaChatus LaShlamim. It says, Kol HaOsik B'Torah Kiilu Hikriv Ola Mincha Chatus LaAshim. If you learn about it, so it's like you brought the Korban. So I think there's a bit of a debate whether it applies to all mitzvahs, but as far as I know, there's a strong tzad that if you can't do the mitzvah, if you learn about it, you have a small chelak or a ki'ilu. The lashon of Chazal is ki'ilu, like you did it. So we're going to try to ki'ilu do a Pidyon Aben here. The clincher for me was, as I said, it fell out in this week's parsha, and the question of this fellow, I saw it in a certain hashkacha protis that was asked me the question just in time. I had no topic for start the day a few weeks ago. He asked me the question, I started looking into it. Now, I did hear the inside information, so I know some of you were thinking on Sunday, we already heard about Pidyon Aben. Well, so I hope some of the stuff that we'll discuss today may be foundations, and I think at the end especially you'll see some very interesting, some very novel ideas that come out from it, but I really hope, I didn't go through the shiur and see what the other speakers spoke about, but I can't imagine, the Torah is so big, someone handed me a 400-page sefer on Pidyon Aben. The chances of him choosing the same pages that I chose, I think, are extremely unlikely. And anyway, we'll see where we go. So the same seed partner threw at me an interesting statistic. I'll tell you the statistic, you tell me what you think. He said, in fact, because he's going for his grandson's Pidyon Aben, he said, this is a very rare mitzvah. He said, I read, now don't believe everything you read, but he said, I read that one out of every 100 births will get a Pidyon Aben. And he's not talking about, obviously, amongst the bigger, the wider world. In the Jewish world, somebody out there did some calculation, 1 in 100. Now, I struggle to figure this out. Let's go through, briefly, who's not going to do a Pidyon Aben, and then we'll see if we can add this up. What do you say?
It's about right. It's true.
Okay, so now we have to figure out why is it true. Let's go through. Let's say you first have large families. So if you have 5 or 10 kids, obviously number 2 through 10, they're not going to be involved in Pidyon Aben. Then you have firstborn girls, also not. Then you have parents who are Kahanim or Leviim. Then you have cesarean sections, which strangely enough, I can't be too involved with this, but apparently it's becoming the birth of choice in certain countries. Now when I say the birth of choice, what do you say? Very good. They even have an advertising campaign, too posh to push. Okay, never heard that one before. But I think it's actually, if we could come up with a different one, it's probably based on what the doctors say, because in America there are so many lawsuits, the obstetricians, some of them actually say they transfer all of their wealth to their wives, they make trust, the wives have all of their wealth, and they have signs up in the surgery saying, you can sue us, I have no assets. But it's so prone, there's so many unfortunate things that can go wrong with birth that the doctors themselves are pushing for cesarean sections. I don't know how much this is infiltrating into the minds of the firm world, but that's another reason. Nafel, someone, Chas v'Shalom, has a nafel. And then there's another one which someone pointed out to me, said, don't forget the forceps. Now, okay, sorry, yeah, oh, very good. Did he speak on Sunday about the same subject? I don't know.
No.
Okay, so forceps, apparently it's a machlekas because they cover the head of the child as it comes out. Some say they don't go in deep enough to make a difference. But and then there's discussion how much of the head has to be covered by the forceps. Is it all of the head, most of the head, or even a little bit of the head? It's a machlekas in the poskim whether that creates a patur for Pidgin Ben. Enough for me to maybe whether you can say the bracha or not. Because once you get involved in the machlekas in the poskim, you have to. It's okay, they're so excited. I'm glad if I get people to talk about what I'm thinking. If they're telling, saying something else, then okay, but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, here we go. Okay, we already have one fan, one in 100. How many people in the room here have had a pigeon bend done to them? Anyone in the room?
I had a pigeon accident.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Very well. So we've got one out of, I would have hoped we had 100 people today so we could really do, we could do, check the people on Zoom, but unfortunately I have no access to that. But okay, one in the whole room, so that's right. I heard the statistic, and then I thought to myself, how do we know? Who's counting? Is there somebody out there? And believe me, there people get doctoral theses for all sorts of crazy things. Maybe there's somebody out there doing something sensible, like checking the numbers of Pidyon HaBen, and for that they'll get a doctor after, before their name, wherever they put the letters. But that's not our mahalach. Our mahalach is we look to Torah, lahavdil. All chachma is in the Torah, and my siyata d'shmaya was, my Shabbos kollel is learning Masechtas Brachot, Bechoros, and I found the answer there. Or possibly, you can think about it. On Daf Hei Amud Aleph, there was a goy called Kantrukas Hasar. Now he was a troublemaker, but he was a troublemaker with power, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai needed to answer his questions. So he came to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and he said, tell me, Rabbi, let's look at the Psukim in your Torah. Doesn't it say that there were 22,273 firstborns leaving Egypt? And doesn't it say that there were 22,000 Leviim? Now, those 22,000, they replaced the firstborns, and those 22,000 firstborns didn't have to pay. But there were 273 more who did have to pay. Now, he's moving on to the kill. He says, but we all know that the Pesukim, when you add up all of the families of Levi, it's not really 22,000 Leviim, it's 22,300 Leviim. That means there were 300 Leviim available who could have done the free pidyon of the firstborns. So he said, cynically, with a laugh, where were the extra 300 Leviim? And the Marsha explains that what he was saying is, I know where they were. They were told not to come that day. And the 273 had to pay for the pidyon. And where do you think the money went? So he insinuated that the money was a racket. That Moshe has set it up to help make Aaron and his sons rich, and the money was going to be kept in the family. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was not thrown by the question, and he said to him, as one has to answer these kinds of people who are going to take life, people's lives for nothing, he said, no, those were all firstborns. Those Leviim could not redeem others because they had to redeem themselves. They weren't available. So that there's no way that they could redeem the Yisraelim, they had to redeem themselves. That's the Gemara. But now if you step aside from the Gemara and you start to do the maths, you're welcome to do it if you want, I've checked it out. But roughly speaking, there were 600,000 Yidden. We've just said there were 22,000 firstborns. That's a ratio of 1 out of every 27 having firstborns. Whereas Levi had 22,300 firstborns, so that's a ratio of 1 to 73. So Mishpachat Levi, we're getting close to 100, but actually we're quite far in the general population. It wasn't like it was 1 in 27. So now, why was this? What was Levi had some sort of problem having firstborns? 1 in 73. So the Ramban explains. He says, Loi hayashevet halevim kishar shvatim. They weren't the same as everybody else. Was it a genetic difference? Not at all. He says, ki shivtei shel Levi loi hayim b'shivud. They weren't involved in the shivud. So you think, well, that's a good thing. They weren't involved in the shivud of Melechus Mitzrayim, Ubavoydus Perach. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving a bracha to everyone else connected Zeris and Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim said, we're going to crush you, we're going to destroy you, we're going to kill you. So Hashem said, who's running the world over here, you or me? And he gave a special bracha to everybody else. And everybody else had many more firstborns, many more births. They had six tuplets, etc. So it seems that there was just a different ratio going on. And then Ramban concludes by saying, "Aval shevet Levi hayu parim v'ravim k'derek kol ha'aretz." The difference was that Levi had the same as the normal world. Mashenkin, all the other shvatim had the special bracha, which was chal on them, which affected the birth rates and affected the firstborns. Fine. That being the case, we see from this Ramban what is the normal rate of firstborns, which comes out if we look at shevet Levi, which was 1 in 27. Which is nowhere near this 1 in 100. So I have ended up leaving off as a tzorich iyun where this figure came from. Although we have someone who maybe has a source for us, you're welcome to tell me if you can. Why should it be like this? I mean, I believe the figure, if that's somebody counted, but I don't understand why it should be so rare. But you're welcome.
Approximation, rather. Okay. About one thing.
Okay. So it'd be interesting to know what the reasoning is.
Well, how many people here actually made a prisoner of that?
Okay, different question. How many people here have
been? What, 20 people though?
So, plus the 20.
We're not
going to. Five out of 40 now.
But
it's. Yeah, but one and a half.
That's the one who's had a prisoner event here, one person.
Right.
How many people have made a prisoner event?
Made three.
Right. So, we've got four or five.
Made a prisoner event. So, it's five out of 40 now.
So the ratio is. So.
Then themselves.
Yes.
And their children.
Okay, but if you can count two generations. But if you count in two generations, I'm not sure. Statistics can be deceptive. I'm not sure how to figure it out exactly. Now, just for the basics of Pidyon Aben, which is the Sefer Chinuch speaks out in two places in the Pidyon Aben. One is in this week's Parshas Voy, and the second time is Parshas Korach. And he gives reasons. We know that all the mitzvahs are Gezeiras HaMelech. But the way of the Sefer HaKinuch is to give Shroshi a mitzvah. Why? Reasons behind the mitzvahs. So he says two reasons. First one he says is that when the Pasuk says the Kaddish B'chor is, the Pasuk we're going to quote is Kaddish li kol b'chor peter kol rechem b'v'nei Yisrael b'alim b'v'heim alihu. So he says, what's the idea behind this mitzvah? He says, all of the firstborns are like what they're supposed to be given to Hashem, they have the Kedusha, they're supposed to be given to Hashem. So he compares it to first fruits. He says a person works very hard to produce and to labor and so forth to have his orchard produce fruit, and then that fruit's very beloved to him. He sees, pardon the terrible pun, the fruits of his labor. But in the same way, the firstborn son is like that. And this is a mitzvah that's supposed to bring out, yes, you love this. You love this first thing, and now give it straight away to Hashem. That's first reason. The second one, which people said is more or less in the Pesukim, although I think that you have to figure it out how it's in the Pesukim. He says, the score, a nes agadol. Remember the nes, that the Mitzrayim firstborns were killed, and our firstborns were saved, and the Hatzilim, we were saved from this Makas Bechoris. So to remember that, the Bechoris have to be redeemed. So these are probably, maybe quite well known, two of the reasons. However, I found a third reason. The third reason, again, is in the Gemara and Brachas, and it comes out from an interesting question based on that same Gemara we were speaking about before, using the Levium to be pointed the firstborn of the Israel. The Gemara asks, in the Cheshbon of how many Levium there was one very famous personality who was not included, and that was Aaron HaKohen. And the Gemara asks, why wasn't Aaron HaKohen available to be pointed one of the Israel? Well, fair enough, he was from Shevet Levi, so why couldn't he be pointed? He wasn't beyond doing mitzvahs, Adarabin, he'd love to do mitzvahs. So the Meshech Chochma answers in the Midbar. He says, the Tam, Shelevim Pocket Bechoros, what was Levim doing? Taking the place of Bechoros, Shebechoros Hifsidu Al Yedei HaEgel. Because, he says, the first ones were particularly leading the way in the Avodas HaEgel. That Avera made them lose the Swiss of being the Roy to do the Avoda, the Halevim Harvichu, and the Levim picked up the fumble, by the Egel, means they lost from the Egel, and the Levim gained. And in Cain, so what's happened with Aaron? Aaron Shahayan Nifga Maisa Egel. Aaron had a certain shortcoming in his involvement, and one of the greatest tzaddikim we've ever had, but he has, the Pasuk suggests that some smidge, some tiny drop of something he did wrong with the Egel, therefore he wasn't fit to redeem the Levim. But it comes out that we find a third reason then for the pigeon. The pigeon is to transfer the skus of being those ruy for avoida from the Bechoros to the Levim. So that's the third reason, which I thought was less well known. The Meshech Chochma, I don't know what his source is, but he says that that's good enough for us. Another point which I want to bring out just before we get to some very interesting halachic cases is that if you go to a pigeon event, I was at one not so long ago, there are certain personalities there, you would say they're the stars of the show. So if you would go through the list, very easy. You've got the baby, you've got the kohen, and you've got the father. But the real star is behind the mechitza. Why is that? The Sefer Chinuch says in Parshas Korach, Kol peterechem p'doy tifte es b'chor ha'olam. Says the Sefer Chinuch, Shetala ha'kosav ha'b'chor ha'p'peterechem. If the woman's status isn't that this is peterechem, there's no pigeon event. So even though you don't see her, but she is koveya in a very, very large way, that this is going to be a pigeon event. It's true we could have exclusions because of other factors. But she is, kibiyachol, in the analogy we were saying before, like the first fruits, she is producing the first fruit. So we know that the father's yichus can make a difference because of some of the other reasons we've said, but it comes out that she's crucial. So that, now this may, you may say, doesn't have modern application. I found out that it does. If a man has two wives, let's say in Tehran, I think till today in Israel, they still recognize there was a neighbor of ours in Ramayma. He was from Tehran, and he had two wives living with him. Because the laws in Israel at the time were, and what they are today, is you came with two wives from one of these eastern countries, you didn't have to divorce one of them. So he lived with two wives. So would they have both been giving birth to boys first? It would have been two pidyon events. Fine. So I thought this is a historically interesting point. But then someone said to me, he has a cousin who's done pidyon haben three times on his three firstborns. So I thought, well, it's not from Taman. How do you know that? Sadly, he's been married three times, divorced three times, and each of his three wives had firstborns. So he did the mitzvah three times. I don't think we wish for it, but the mitzvah that people should have a lot of opportunities to do.
Not divorced three times.
He was actually divorced. He didn't have to do it. But you're right. He didn't have to do it, but okay.
Does he say Shefi
Yonah? Very good. Well, I guess he's remarried. He's happy. I don't know. Not afterwards.
His wife said Balsha Petrana each time.
So this is what we've just said about the woman being the star of the show and her status as being crucial explains another common mistake. When we say firstborns, people sometimes mistake the two halachic nafkamins being firstborn. The one is pidyon haben and the other is the gavi yerusha. And people sometimes mistake that they're the same. But according to what we've just said, they're really not the same, because if man has two wives, let's say in context of someone from Taman, the second firstborn is not going to be the one to be yerush, the kishnayim. It's only the first one is going to be, and there are other, the Gemara discusses, but there are lots of nafkaminas. It's just worth noting that it's they're not hainu hach, they're not the same firstborns. Although the words we use in English are the same, or maybe even in Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not the same thing in halacha. Now, somebody here mentioned that they did the pidyon on themselves. I'll just point out that although we say all the mitzvahs are gezeiras hamelech, but we can understand perhaps now why a child who wasn't redeemed by his father still must redeem himself. Because according to the reason we said, it's your first fruits. Well, as much as some people like to believe they're a self-made man, but there's nobody who can say he's his own first fruit. So what's the pshat? So we said, if you say that one of the reasons was because the avodah was transferred from the firstborn to Shevet HaLevi, and also because the chet ha'egel, those two reasons we can understand very well. This person still has an obligation on himself, even though the first reason of the chinuch does not apply. Now, I heard a fascinating question from Yaakov Kamenetsky. He said, we know that there are two brachas that are made at Pidyon HaBen. The one is Al Pidyon HaBen, and the second is Shehecheyanu, which somebody mentioned. Do you say Shehecheyanu? So he asked a fascinating question. He says, why would we be making a Shehecheyanu on a thing which is about this firstborn was going to be Ruil Avoida, he was going to be B'mokam the Kohen, and that Schus was lost. He's being redeemed because of a certain Chesoron. He went from being the person who would act as the Kohen, and now he's going to be like any other regular family. What's the pshat? Why do we make Shehecheyanu? Why do we make a party for this?
Make Shehecheyanu on the birth, no?
There's a special Shehecheyanu on Pidyon HaBen.
But if you have a second child, you also have a Shehecheyanu on the boy, so it's on the birth.
I don't think what you're saying is true, what he told me in Hagen. I could be mistaken. some people, I think, it could be wrong. I think Svardim maybe do, but I have to check who's doing it. That's not everybody's minnow. But Pidyon HaBen, then Pidyon HaBen we do make, and that would be even if you already made on the birth. So you'd end up with two Shehecheyanus potentially, according to what we're saying. So the question is, what's the celebration about? Why is this something we're happy about? So this is not to be taken too seriously, but you could say, consider what the Kohen offers you. He comes to you and he says, which one do you want more? Bincha or Chamesh Shloim Halalim? He asks you, which would you rather, your son or these 5 coins? So I think it's in the script. You don't really have too many choices there. I don't know what would happen if he says, but he says, no, I want to keep my son. So maybe the celebration is the father gets to keep his son. That in itself is worth celebrating. However, the poskim say this is not true. Why not? On two accounts. First of all, although people may like to believe otherwise, when you say it's my son, my children, my this, my that, you actually have no zchus to give them to the kohen even if you want to. That's not that you have no bilus on them to give them away, not for 5 coins and not for anything else. They happen to be your son, but that's not a relationship in terms of what you can do with them. The second is that the kohen, even if you would find a way to give it to him, the kohen has no zchus to keep him. That's not that the kohen is being paid to the son. He doesn't really have a tevia that give me the son. We know that Chana gave her son, but that was more than really giving. That was a dedicating of him. Anyway, so what is the reason? So both Rav Yaakov Kadetsky and Rav Hirsch say, and this is an interesting hashkafic point. They say that what are we celebrating? You might have thought wrongly that everybody, the Spitz life would be the kohen doing the avoda. We should all dream to be the Kohen doing the Avodah. And to bring out the point that that's not the case, this firstborn is still going to be a leader in his family. That's the nature of firstborns. They sort of blaze the way, and they set a lot of the precedence for the future children. So he's got a very important part. He says, we're celebrating that you should know that it's gone from being what people imagine to be the important role in life, to be what is the really important role in life, which is leading your family in Avodas Hashem without having the title of being the Kohen. So he said, that's worthwhile celebrating. And some people answered me, another reason we're celebrating is because they were saved from Makkos Bechoros, that could be. And the third answer that somebody suggested, we're celebrating the mitzvah. On this type of question, if we're celebrating the mitzvah, why don't we find a simple celebration by Shluach HaKam? I've personally done Shluach HaKam maybe 2 or 3 times, and I know lots of other people have done it. I've never heard of anybody making a Sudas mitzvah on Shluach HaKam. So if it's just about doing mitzvahs, let's do it. You could say, well, maybe the bird will fly away. We're going to buy it for a whole Suda, and then the bird doesn't even turn up. I don't think that's practical. Wait till you do it and then celebrate. Okay, just two other halachic chidushim, which I think we're going to have time for. The Minchas Chinuch, just first some background, and we'll see, he has a very interesting case. He said, the basic din, we already spoke of, the Kahanim and Levim are Patzer from Pidyon HaBen. And even if a person whose mother is a Kahanis, or the mother is Levia. Also, that child is Parshman Pidyon Ben. I don't think I'm telling anybody any Kedusha. Now, he asks the following. What if Chas V'Shalom, a Goy is Havo Alabas Yisrael? So the father is a Goy, and the mother is a Yiddish woman, Chas V'Shalom. What's the din of Pidyon Ben? Anybody know? Sorry?
Still the Pater Rechem. Yeah, but he was on the father, isn't he?
Well, we saw above that the star of the show is the mother. So he says, he points out, because the Shadin and Haben Acher Ha'ein, we say, who is the mother? This is the Jewish mother, Petr Rechem for her. So Chayev Liftois. Now there's no father, so the boy will redeem himself. Okay, that's stage one. Now he asks, that was talking about a regular Yiddish woman. He says, now what happens if the Goy is Havba ala Kehenis or Leviya? Okay, so now what would we say? So we'd say the mother, right? We just set the precedent. You look at the mother, forget the father. The mother is Jewish, but in this case, Canis, Potter, Levia, Potter. Listen to what he says. Oh, very good. Hakahenis nifka mekedushasa, afila mekedushas Levi. If this Kahenis, Rahman Aslan, is nibble to a goy, she loses her Kedusha as a Kahenis, even her Kedushas Levi, and Chayev ben Liftois. So the son becomes Chayev and Pidyon Ben because of the mother. She doesn't have the status of Canis, not a Levia. And then listen to this. Aval Ibal Levia, what happens if he comes in Levia? Then we say Shadin Ben Acher HaEisha. And she's a Levia. She didn't lose her status as a Levia. Bahavi Ben Levi Upatzer Mepidyon. So if she's a Levia, she doesn't lose her status as Leviya. That doesn't take away from her status as Leviya. So she still has a patur. So it turns out the Kehenis is Mila ends up being her chasorin in terms of Pidyon Ben. Because she loses everything. She doesn't even go down to being a Leviya, which is interesting why that should be. She's still from Shape Levi, but she loses that. She's in Halelis, and there's no Chiyuv Mashenkin, but there is a Chiyuv, sorry, but by the Bas Levi. So then she remains a Bas Levi, and the child is Potter. One last thing, which we have time for, Baruch Hashem. What happens if a Kohen or a Levi says, I want to do Pidyon Ben on myself? Now you think, what's wrong with this guy? We just said, you're not Chayev. So anybody know why would he want to do that? Please, everybody's convinced why he shouldn't. Because the Pesach can say that it's not so poshut to think like this, but I'll bring you a raya that there are those who do. Because how the Kahanim and the Leviim, Kahanim Leviim today, because of a chazaka. So they could say, there's a mitzvah deraisa to be paid the firstborn. If he's a firstborn, he says, look, I have mitzvah deraisa, and I'll be machmir, because, a chazaka, that I'm a kohen, I'm a Levi, but I've got, there's a possibility that I'm not. That possibility, I'll do it as a chumrah. So, in fact, the Pesachim discussed the following thing that's mentioned on the daf in Shulchan Aruch. How can the kohen keep the money? You're giving him money because he's a kohen. Okay, he's got cheskes kohen, very nice. He's not a vade kohen. So how could he keep your money if he's not a vade kohen?
It's a matona.
Can't make a bracha as well.
It's a matona.
You can't make a bracha as well.
Which one? Oh, very good. How can make? Okay, so that goes along with this. How can the kohen say birkas kohanim with a bracha? Or how can you pidyon ben with a bracha? So the answer to this is, and the Aruch HaShulchan has very, very sharp language against this thinking. I'm just saying there is a posik who mentions this. By the way, just to point out that this is not so far-fetched. Because long ago, and the story goes, I don't know where it's recorded, he would go to multiple kahanim to do pidyon ben. Yeah. Just in case one of them was a kohen, maybe many of them were kahanim, but he didn't know. There's a chazaka, but there was mokum for a chumrah. So you might think, okay, the same way, maybe the kohen shouldn't keep some money, maybe he should pidyon on himself. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, and this is very strong language, about people who think this way, since nowadays we don't have verified Yichus Kahuna, the Kohen should be concerned, and so maybe he should give back the money. He's, he himself is Chayev Pidyon as a Chumrah, he should take from one pocket and take out the money and put it into his other pocket. Yeah, that's how it
works. Or he isn't.
Well, if not, he just transfers money one
as a
Chumrah.
No, he's not even a Chumri, he's doing it as a possible Sophic.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Might not be a Kohen. So if he's not a Kohen, then he can't put it in his other possible, in his other pocket.
Ah,
he
is a Kohen,
that he didn't need in the first place.
Interesting. So listen to his words. L'dayti osur l'shmoyu devarim ke'ilim. He says, it's osur to listen to things like this. V'l'haktin atam ma'ilas kuhuna, and to anything which takes away from the greatness of kuhuna, v'asi l'zilzuli chas v'sholem lo markein. And it would be, Chasham, you come to Mzalz on the Kuhuna. He says, because nobody nowadays has the Yichus written in, nobody knows for sure. Stronger words, Shem Becheskes, Kedushas, Bechalila, Bechalila, Lasos, Bezeiz, a Sofek, O Sveik, Sveika, or Belitzarev, a Fila, that Surf Koldo. You shouldn't use this in any way, shape, or form as a doubt, even though what is it? It's a Chazaka. But he's saying so powerful that it's a Chazaka that you should not do it. Now you could say, I'm just going to finish, I know the next speaker is waiting, I'll try to be quick. It says, this is all, everything's about a Kohen, but what about a Levi? A Levi is slightly different, because the Yichus of a Levi is a bit less delicate. For example, if you call up one Kohen, and he doesn't come up, you shouldn't call up the second Kohen by name for an Aliyah. But a Levi, if you call him up by name, you're allowed, as far as I know, to call up the second Levi by name. Because his Yichus isn't so fragile, the Zilzul of his Yichus isn't so fragile, for whatever reason, but in any event, so here you wouldn't have that problem. The problem the Levi has is you can't do it so much without being before Hesi. The Kohen can take out of one pocket and put in the other pocket, but the Levi has to get a Kohen involved. Anyway, the Minog is not to do so, and some of the Poskim, the Mitzvah Yitzchak said, this is the Avilsa Yitzchamua, and Chumras that Avilsa Yitzchamua is not poshut you should be doing them. And the other thing that Minchas Yitzchak mentions is the possibility that you end up making bracha, levatala, shein tzrich, whatever it is. He writes that that is the reason why Kohanim should not do it. Because first they'll see a Kohen do it, and they'll say, I remember so-and-so Kohen did it, I'm going to do it as well. And he'll make a bracha. In fact, my Chabrusa's brother, who's the son of Abbas Levi, said went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and said, can I do it? Can I do pidyon haben on myself? And he didn't want to answer for a while. Ultimately, Reb Chaim answered him and said, it's mutter to do for yourself. But he made a point of emphasizing, and my Chabrusa was there, that he said, but don't make any brothers. Yeah. The other thing, the last story I'll finish with is Reb Yisrael Reisling, who went through the sugyas of Pesach in America, maybe you've heard of him. Anyway, he went through the sugyas, he's a Levi, and he decided that he would do the schumra. So he took his coat, his jacket, whatever you call it, he walked over to a kohen of the base medrash, and he said, I'm giving you this jacket as a pidyon haben for myself, and that was how he was mekayem the schumra. Anyway, it seems to be the minhag is not to do it. I'm just mentioning as a point of interest, and we should all be able to see the avodah shleima, the Yisrael Tzedek.
Oh, man!